Level up with the new Crypto.com Visa Signature Credit Card. It works like other credit cards. Simply swipe, tap, or spend in store and online to earn attractive crypto rewards. Spend in dollars and earn in crypto with the new Crypto.com Visa Signature Credit Card. Learn more at crypto.com/cards.
Credit card offers are subject to credit approval. Crypto.com Visa Signature Credit Card accounts are issued by Comenity Capital Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc. Visa is a registered trademark of Visa International Service Association and used under license.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American.
All right. Well, hope you're doing well today. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. And we have a lot to discuss today. And look, we've got to have a conversation about what's going on in the culture right now, because I know many people are getting very nervous. They are very alarmed at the kinds of conversations that are now being had within the nation's culture and on social media platforms. And if you are watching us on social media, you know the direction we're about to take this program, because it very well may be that Obama's race war is now beginning to simmer in this nation. And this has been a long time coming in this country. Many of you have been longtime listeners, and you know that periodically through my show, I've been warning you about this. And look, I've been catching up for years. I've caught so much blowback. Even during my time at Fox, they would bristle every time I pointed out that Obama was actually trying to divide the country, that there was nothing post-racial about his presidency, that Barack Hussein Obama was actually using his presidency to divide the nation along racial lines and also to sow seeds of hate against law enforcement. Many years ago, you might remember the Harvard professor who was arrested, a friend of Barack Hussein Obama's. And at the time, Obama got up and gave a national address. I was on the front row there in the East Room of the White House when Obama said that the cops acted stupidly. You might remember that conversation. I was there that day. And those kinds of things alarmed me as a reporter at the time. And as I was starting to put the puzzle pieces together, I discovered, well, geezaloo, Obama's doing something pretty nefarious here. And Obama was laying the groundwork for what is going to be a race war in this country. And there's really no other way to describe it. And you need to be aware of it, because some of the language that's already being used is incredibly disturbing. And the reality of it is that what happened in Charlotte, North Carolina, is going to have an impact for a very long time, a very long time. Very clear to me. We have now, by the way, seen the entire video from start to finish, and I want to say a couple of things. First of all, for nearly 2 minutes, no one on that train, no one for nearly 2 minutes came over to help this young lady. Irina bled out on that light rail train, on that transit train, and for 2 minutes, nobody came to her help. By the time a gentleman did, it was too late. And you can see, we don't know who that guy is, but it looks as if he had just rushed onto the train and rushed up to the scene. But it was really jaw-dropping to see all of those people that were there. And they had an opportunity to try to step in and try and intervene, try to offer some help, some assistance. Her blood was literally spilling from her body all over that train car. And nobody for 2 minutes did anything about it. My question is, why? Is it because the people that were on the train were all black and she was white? I don't know. But it's hard not to see that in light of what we now know. The fact that the killer was walking around saying, I got the white girl, I got the white girl. It's hard to say. But I'm telling you that there are some very, very bad people out there in this world, and they mean to harm us. Now, the official Black Lives Matter account posted a video, and this is generating a little bit of buzz. And in this video that was posted today, the official Black Lives Matter account says that black people have a right to violence in America. Take a listen.
I have a right to violence. All oppressed people have a right to violence. And I'm going to tell you something. It's like the right to pee. You got to have the right place. You got to have the right time. You got to have the appropriate situation. And I'm absolutely convinced that this is it.
Why would you post a video like that at this specific time, at this specific juncture? Why would you do something like that? But it's, look, there are so many videos coming out. Here is another man on C-SPAN. We're not talking about some obscure television channel. We're talking about C-SPAN. And he's actually calling for the extermination of white people. Take a listen.
And the one idea is how we are going to exterminate white people, because that, in my estimation, is the only conclusion I have come to. We have to exterminate white people off of the face of the planet to solve this problem. Now, I don't care whether you clap or not, but I'm saying to you that we need to solve this problem because they are going to kill us.
I'm sorry. Wait, what? Excuse me? Huh? Oh, what? What's going? What? You want to what? Yeah, the guy said on C-SPAN that he wants to exterminate white people. Just seems to me, and I don't know, I may be overreacting here, but, you know, when somebody's calling for the extermination of honkies, and I am one of them, it does raise the antenna, or antennae, if you will. I'm just wondering why C-SPAN allowed this conversation to go on, and that for me. But even more than that, there were people who actually applauded. Fortunately, I think most people in the audience were like, wait, what? Huh? And you know they were all white liberals that were in that room. And so they're saying, wait a second. What? We agree with you. Doesn't matter, honky. I'm just telling you. That's what the guy said. He calling for the extermination of white people on C-SPAN. This is all coming from Barack Hussein Obama. And there was, if you go back and we played I'm not going to play it again, but the Black Lives Matter folks, they talk about how black people have been oppressed. And I brought this up yesterday and I got blowback from folks who were very upset about this. And they say, Todd, you're harping too much on critical race theory. No, trust me, I'm really not. Because you've got kids for the first, what? Well, you've got 12 years of education. So from the age of 6 to whenever, these kids have been told over and over and over again, white people are the oppressors. They're responsible for every problem you have in life. You grew up in the projects, blame the white man. Can't get a job, blame the white man. Can't get into college, blame the white guy. Got a parking ticket, blame the white cop. That's what they were taught. And so when you, again, if you're being taught that every single day, then in your mind, you are going to come out, you're going to graduate high school, and you are going to be on a rage every time you see someone of the Caucasian persuasion. I'm serious about this, Dylan. This is where we are right now. And my heart goes out to young people in this country because of what they have learned in their public schools. It breaks my heart. Because we weren't raised like that in the 80s. I can tell you, when you look at the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, we did not have this level of racial strife in this country. This is something that has been created, and it was created during the Obama administration. I mean, you have people graduating high school, and they hate anything white. Want mayo on your ham sandwich? How dare you, you racist? No mayo! geez, hello, sorry. This is where we are. And we have to have a conversation about it. But I've got to say, as much as we need to have a conversation about it, within the black community, there needs to be a conversation. Where was Barack Hussein Obama over the past, I don't know, 3 days? Where is Obama using his bully platform to come out there and say, we got to knock this off? He's not going to do it. And you know why? Because he wants this to happen. And the reason why is that he knows, Barack Hussein Obama knows, that this is what will destroy our country. This very issue will divide our country. And that's what he wants. I truly believe this man is probably going to go down in history as one of the nefarious people to occupy the Oval Office. He hates us. And you know why? I know he hates us because his father hated the British. His father in Kenya hated the British colonizers. And you better believe that Barack Hussein Obama, that little apple, did not fall far from that tree. And Obama hates America. He hates who we are. That's why he went on these international apology tours, apologizing on our behalf. That's Barack Hussein Obama. Now, the good news is that there are people out there who are speaking out within the black community. And hear me on this. As much as, you know, we've been preaching here on this radio show about what is coming, there are also, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, right? Because this is a black conversation that needs to be had with other black people. And the black community has got to get a handle on this. If this was an issue of white people going out and doing, we would be having a white people conversation. Honkies of America, we need to talk to you. I mean, we would have had that conversation on this radio show because we're not afraid of having those conversations. There's a pastor in New York City in the Harlem area, and this guy's actually running for mayor. He doesn't have a chance, but this is interesting when you hear his take on the situation within his community. Cut 11.
Somebody said to me that if Jesus is black, heaven is a ghetto. Everywhere black people live is a damn ghetto. Why should I be yelling at the white man? Hell, if it wasn't for him, we'd all probably be dead from diseases and sickness. Or hell, we'd each other. If it wasn't for the white man. The white man built America. You say, the slave built America. Don't they cover that lie. I'll slap the taste out of your mouth. You ain't built nothing. Half the time what you did build as a slave, the white man had to whoop your ass with a whoop to get you to do that little bit of work that you did do. And to whoop your ass to get it done. Talking about we built a man. You ain't built a damn thing. Don't own a damn thing. None of it. You had Harlem, you threw that away. No. Thank God for the white man. Thank God he's built America and some other safe places. Built airlines so you can ride around on. Built automobiles. Hell, y'all ain't got one nation in Africa have built a car. Talking that damn talk. The only thing y'all can do is play basketball, run up and down the court like a bunch of double-jointed fools.
Okay. Yeah, that guy's probably not gonna pick up many votes in New York City. Let me say something here, and I want you to be, I want you to hear my heart on this. You know, I truly do believe that America is supposed to be a melting pot. And by that, I mean, when you come to this country, and it doesn't matter how you got here, but when you come to this country, you become an American. And that means that we take the best of who we are and where we came from. And the best makes America even stronger. You know, my dad raised me to judge people, as MLK said, judge them by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And I know a lot of other white dads in the South did the exact same thing to their sons. And so that's just how I was raised. And that's how I believe. And I think that's what MLK, I don't want to speak for MLK Jr., but I think when he talked about having that dream, I thought that was a good dream to have for this country. But here we are, ladies and gentlemen, and we live in a nation where society is now telling us that we have to judge people by the color of their skin. And if you're a white person, it doesn't matter how good you are still evil because of your skin color. I'm just going to say this as we go to break. That idea, that narrative is a lie from the pit of hell. And I say that because I also believe this, that we are all created in God's image. And when you're out there saying that a black person will always be oppressed, that is an insult to Almighty God. When you say that all white people are oppressors, that reflects on Almighty God. And the God I serve, the God who created me, is not a God who makes mistakes. And ultimately, this is an evil thing that is being wrought in our nation right now. And I blame Barack Hussein Obama. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Friends, I want to tell you about a new movie. It's called Sketch, and it's the latest from our good friends over at Angel Studios, the folks who are committed to bringing faith-based, family-friendly entertainment back to the big screen. Now, this one's a real treat. Sketch is imaginative, heartwarming, and just plain fun. Picture Stranger Things meets Inside Out, only clean, uplifting, and packed with values you can actually feel good about sharing with your kids. It's the story of a little girl whose sketchbook falls into a mysterious pond, and suddenly all her drawings come to life. It's got excitement, a little suspense, and a whole lot of laughs. If you're already a premium Angel Guild member, your 2 free tickets to Sketch are ready and waiting. If you're not, well, now's the time. Sign up today and see Sketch in theaters starting August 6th. Plus, you'll get access to Angel Studios' entire streaming library, content that reflects your values, honors your faith, and uplifts your family. If you're tired of the junk Hollywood keeps churning out and you're ready to support movies that are wholesome, meaningful, and made with heart, head over to angel.com/starns and become a premium Angel Guild member today. So last night, we were getting election returns in from Charlotte, North Carolina, where the mayor, the first female African-American mayor or black mayor of Charlotte, North Carolina, was being primaried. There's a big primary battle there among the Democrats, and she came out on top. I mean, it was a crushing landslide, but that's the reality, is that the people, the Democrats of Charlotte, North Carolina, decided that Mayor Lyles was the best person to represent them. I am shocked by this because the whole election should have been flavored with what happened on that transit train. But apparently the good people of Charlotte, at least on the Democrat side of the aisle, say this is the kind of lawlessness that they are voting for. And I hate to say this to the good people of the suburbs of Charlotte. You guys are screwed because these criminals know where all the money is. These criminals know where all of the people are, and they're going to be heading in your direction. And I know that from personal experience. So I'm just concerned for all of our great listeners around Charlotte listening to us on WSIC. I mean, this is insanity. But how do you, geez, hello. It's just, I'm telling you, in Charlotte, North Carolina, clearly they're either voting on skin color or whether or not there's a D behind the person's name. Every city where they do that, that city is a cesspool. And it's unfortunate because my understanding is Charlotte is just was a wonderful city. And I've had so many of our listeners out in that area texting me saying, Todd, please don't let this reflect poorly on us. But I'm sorry, but when you've got that many people going out and voting and over 70% of the vote goes to the incumbent mayor, the person who created all of this mess, and the Democrats who are setting free criminals, I was reading a report over 30,000-some-odd criminals set free by the Democrats in North Carolina. Nobody's safe. Nobody. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. We're going to be taking your calls. Got to take a quick break here, so hang tight. When we come back, going directly to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. All right, be sure to check out all of our great stories, by the way, on ToddStarnes.com. Bookmark our page. We have all sorts of great stuff over there for you to read. Hey, let's go to the phones, as promised. 901-260-5926, our number. Let's go to Texas City, Texas. Craig is on the line. Hi, Craig. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. Driving up to see a client in lovely Texas City. I was listening to what you were saying earlier about how we do have a racism problem, but it's a very unusual one because it's not in the masses. It's really kind of individually. And I talked to a girl last night, yesterday in a Walgreens, and she was a black girl. And we were talking about Jesus, and I asked her about racism because we were talking about this thing. And I said, when is the last time you experienced anything racist in this area? And she goes, never. I've moved here 7 years ago, and I never experienced it anywhere. And it was in a predominantly white area. She says, everyone here is so nice. So this negative propaganda that we're feeding people in these cities where 76% of the people vote, like you said, for the people who created these problems, it's like Hamas. Feel sorry for them when you voted the people in that are doing to you what's happening, and you keep doing it. So, you know, it's a definition of idiocy, and it's just this negative propaganda. It does not exist like people are being told, like you're saying what they're doing in the schools. What are we going to do to stop this, Todd? What are we going to do?
Well, there are a couple of things, and I think the overarching issue, and my greater concern and alarm is that a lot of this is coming from the fact that many children within the black community do not have a mom and a dad in the household. And you've got a lot of little boys that are being raised by their mothers, and it is not turning out well in the black community. And I can tell you firsthand, we see this in Memphis every single day, and it is a major issue, and we've got to address that. But we also need to be doing something about what's happening in the classroom. And Craig, my concern is this, that if you are teaching kids they're oppressed, and you know some other kid in the classroom, the white kid's responsible for it, that kid is going to start growing hate and animosity in his little mind, in his little heart. So what I think we ought to be doing is going and educating kids about, you know, we hear a lot about all the great white people who have done great things. What about the black people that have been very successful in this country? The first black millionaires, the first major black business owners. Why aren't we celebrating those people? You know, and many of them, by the way, are Republicans, which is one of the reasons why they don't want to be talking about, you know, some of these great individuals. Great Americans, by the way.
Correct. I 100% agree. Just like you were saying, and I tell people this, I said, if you look at yourself in the mirror, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. If anyone doesn't like you because of what you look like, then the unmitigated audacity to you accusing God of making a mistake, get away from me. I can't be around you. You're dead already.
And we also need pastors that are willing to speak truth to the culture. And what's so sad is they all got sucked into the whole BLM movement during the George Floyd riots. And you don't hear those guys aren't saying anything about this young lady that was slaughtered on the train there in Charlotte, North Carolina, including many of the so-called mega church pastors that are based in North Carolina.
Texas, too, and don't get me started on those. That's a whole other conversation. You might stop trying to change scripture like some of these churches are. I could call them out by name, but you might not want me to.
Well, I don't want to get down that rabbit hole today, but Craig, I think you're on to this, and we've got to find a solution, and some of them are very simple fixes. Others are going to take some time. I mean, you can't undo these families that have already been decimated, and you don't have a mom and a dad in the home. But we can tackle things like the education system and making sure these kids understand that this is a great nation and that we are not the same nation that we were during the Civil War. We're not the same nation we were during the Civil Rights era. We have progressed so far. And for young people growing up in America to think that slavery still exists, that's unacceptable in my book. Craig, thank you for the call. 901-260-5926. Hey, guess who's watching Rob Finnerty on Newsmax? President Trump. Donald J. Trump says Finnerty show is so terrific. Millions are joining President Trump to watch Finnerty every night, 8 o'clock Eastern, on Newsmax. All this week, Rob is looking at the media's war on Trump. Rob is also giving you facts about the National Guard in cities like New York, Chicago, Los Angeles. He's even telling you the real truth about the Jeffrey Epstein files and the big media's agenda on Trump's health. So watch Rob Finnerty tonight on Newsmax. You can check out your local cable system. You can also download the free Newsmax app. It costs you absolutely nothing, and you can watch in minutes. Finnerty, the fastest-growing primetime news show in America. Find out why even President Trump is tuning in. Again, more than 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for news they can trust, because we are real news for real people. All right, let's get right back to the phones here. Charles in North Carolina. And Charles, I understand you actually live near Charlotte.
Yeah, Todd. I'm like 15 miles north of Charlotte on Lake Norman in Davidson, North Carolina. And this story has just got everybody around here on edge. It's got people angry. We knew this was going to happen, because there is an epidemic of black-on-white crime in Charlotte throughout the nation. There's also an epidemic of black-on-black crime. But you don't at night, Todd, you don't want to dare go downtown Charlotte and walk, city center without a gun on you. I mean, it is that bad. And, you know, as a white person, I've walked down the sidewalks of Charlotte at night, and if I see a black or a group of blacks, I just walk across the street, for fear that, you know, they're going to try to do something to me or the person I'm with. But I hate to say this, but Todd, around here, I heard a term this past weekend. We're getting what's called black fatigue. We are sick and tired of the black-on-white crime. I mean, and it's not just that. It's everything that's going on in our culture, whether they're attacking Caitlin Collins. I mean, just the marijuana when you go into a hospital or out of a hospital. It's just the same old crap, and we're sick of it. And we're sick of the, you know, pointing the finger, calling white people racist and everything else. And, Todd, I looked at some statistics the other day. Black males are 6% of the population of the United States, yet they commit 52.6% of murders. I mean, that's the big problem. And the problem, as you alluded to, there's no father in the home. 7 to 8 out of 10 black kids are born out of wedlock. There's no church anymore. They're being lied to in public schools that they're a victim and that people are victimizing them. And it's just a recipe for disaster. And right now in Charlotte, Todd, in this whole area, I don't hear any black person from the clergy or on the media coming out and condemning what this guy did and saying that, you know, there needs to be accountability in our community. I mean, there's just crickets. And even, and of course, white liberals around here, there's plenty of them. They're not saying anything. Of course, said the skin color has been reversed. You'd have heard, there'd have been, you know, George Floyd, too.
Oh, but, yeah, Charlotte would have burned. Yeah. Charlotte would have burned to the ground. No doubt about that, Charles. You know, I want to caveat something you said, because I think there's also something called black fatigue, because there are a lot of black families out there, and they're disgusted by what they see. And I know a lot of those families, and they've reached out to me, and they're just as disgusted, sickened by what's going on. And again, the challenge is the leadership in the Black community. And honestly, I'm not even sure that would move the needle, to be honest with you, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, where is Al Sharpton? You know, where is Barack Obama? Like you said, how come he hasn't come out and said something about this? But, you know, the good Black folk that are out there, and there are good Black folk and Black families, they're being, you know, guilt by association, because there's a reason that stereotypes develop. I mean, you know, that video, that horrific video showing the guy stabbing her bleeding out, dying right there on the train, and then 4-5 bystanders, all Black, not doing one thing to help that woman. And then, you know, not wanting the video to be circulated among the public for one reason or another.
Why? Have you ever thought about that, Charles? Why didn't they want the video released? Why didn't they want the American people to see what happened on that train car?
Because it doesn't fit their narrative. I firmly believe, Todd, that CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, all those networks, they really wish that the races had been reversed on that train. That's what they want. They're the ones that want to see division, a race war, that sort of thing. But, you know, as far as the Black community goes, the Democratic Party has done more to destroy them. They've made them dependent. They've made them dejected. They divided them because they don't have the family structure. They're doing to the modern-day Black family what they did to the Black families back during pre-Civil War. But that's their M.O. And they use them as pawns. But, you know, if you're Black and you're listening to me, you need to blame your own party for where you are, because they've made you believe and lied to you that a government check is more important than a father in the home or the moral influence of a church. And it's just had disastrous consequences.
Mm. Charles, we're going to have to leave it there. Good thoughts. You stay safe out there in the Charlotte suburbs. But again, they didn't want this video released. And WSOC, which is one of the dominant TV stations in the market, you know, it's interesting. They actually got the video, and they didn't release the entire thing initially. And they said they described it, and they talked about how heroic the passengers were. Again, it took the passengers, there was two minutes. And then finally, some guy comes running in. By the way, a Black guy. And he tried to save her life, but by that time she was gone. But for 2 minutes, nobody did anything heroically. They just stood and watched her bleed out there on the subway. By the way, now do you understand why they haven't released the Austin Metcalf video? You folks in Texas, you know what I'm talking about. The young white athlete who was stabbed to death at the track meet, the accused, a Black teen, and they will not release the video. They will not make the surveillance videos public. And again, it goes against the narrative. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
With Progressive, it's easy to reach customer service with our app, website, chat, or by phone. Because when getting help is hard, it's not help at all.
A little help. A little hope over here.
Thank you for calling Bench Press Assistance.
What?
Due to excessive gym volume, all available spotters are currently lifting heavy weights off the chests of other bench pressers.
Seriously?
Please continue to hold, and we will remove the barbell from your chest in the order in which your cry for help was received.
Getting assistance should be easy. With Progressive, it is. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
My name is Kyle Kirby. I am the chairman of the Mecklenburg County Republican Party. The full video of Irina Zaruska's murder has now been released. Don't look away. Don't turn your heads. Don't shut your eyes. Watch it. Because she had no choice but to look evil in the face. Her final moments were moments of terror, pain, and loneliness. While no one was able to lift a hand on that car to help her, You can see the killer walking away with his knife dripping in blood in chilling indifference. It is horrific. It is excruciating. But it must be seen by the public. Because these are not isolated tragedies. This is a result of failed policies, weak leadership, and a judicial system that protects criminals instead of innocent individuals. What the Democrats call restorative justice looks like Irina Zarentska's murder. The suffering of you and your loved ones for their gain. Shame on the Mecklenburg County justice system. You failed to incarcerate an individual who had been arrested previously 14 times. Shame on the civic leadership of Charlotte. You failed to protect the very people you swore to serve. And shame on Mayor Vi Lyles. You failed to offer anything other than platitudes and pandering instead of real, meaningful leadership. Irina Zarentska died because of the Democrat policies in Charlotte, Mecklenburg. Woke politics that perpetuate cashless bail and refuse to prioritize public safety over appearances. But we have seen these horrific images, the knife dripping in blood, her panic, the silence of others around her. These moments sear into our minds. But let it also ignite our resolve that we must not stand by and watch the Charlotte that we love also die in silence. The time is now to end the experiment of single-party, soft-on-crime governance in Charlotte, Mecklenburg. Yes. The time is now to demand cash bail for multiple-time offenders. The time is now to treat criminals like accountable individuals and not entitled persons. So hear me now, Charlotte. On Monday, September 22nd, 30-day anniversary from the death of Irina Zarentska, at 8 p.m. at the East West Boulevard Light Rail Station, I call on every able-bodied Charlottean and person in this city who is concerned about crime to turn out to a candlelight vigil in Irina Zarentska's honor. We will stand shoulder to shoulder, defying silence and showing the world that we will not let her death be erased by complicit media partners. I call on people from every background, every political stripe, every nationality, join us now. Help end the woke narratives and the broken leadership and the system that sacrificed this woman's life to evil.
All right, there you have it. The chair of the Republican Party there in Mecklenburg, he was with us on Newsmax last night, and I'm glad they're speaking out, and I hope they can do something. What do they call the... They're not charlatans. That would not be good. Charlatanites. What did he call them, Dylan? It's hard. Like for Memphis, we're Memphians. Or Houston, you're Houstonians. Is it Gainesville? You're Gainesvillians? Is that? I'm very confused now. Dylan, one time I had to cover a story. It was in Dumas, Louisiana, which has an awkward spelling, and it turned out that you don't call the people in Dumas Dumasians. That's really inappropriate and apparently a mispronunciation of the actual town's name.
Do you know what they do? They have a name for their people?
I don't know, but I can tell you it's not Dumasians. I just want to point that out.
Glad we cleared it up.
Or like Bucksnort, Tennessee. What do you, is it Bucksnortians? Bucksnortites? Like but. Little Rockians. What are you? I'm very confused.
We got it easy over here.
We do. We do. Coming up tomorrow is 9/11, and Tucker Carlson is making some controversial comments about Osama bin Laden. And we'll play through some of that. Laura Loomer, not too happy. Also, just a heads up, as crazy as things are in Charlotte, It looks like things are getting really squirrely across Eastern Europe right now. Russia sending up drones over Poland, which that's not going to end well. So we'll get into all of that coming up in the next hour. Senator James Lankford's going to drop by as well. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So a couple of big stories that are brewing here, and I need to get some information. Guys, if you can please help me out with the situation here ASAP. The White House now weighing in on this Russian incursion, and it's very strange, and we're still trying to work through all the details. But President Trump posting something on Truth Social, he said, "What's with Russia violating Poland's airspace with drones? Here we go." Ambassador to NATO Matthew Whitaker put out a more concrete statement, vowing that the U.S. will defend every inch of NATO territory. So NATO invoked Article 4 of the treaty after the Russian attacks on Poland. The Polish prime minister says, "This situation brings us the closest we have been to open conflict since World War II." Mr. Tusk writing on social media, "Those drones that posed a direct threat were shot down. I am in constant communication with the Secretary General of NATO and our allies." So we're going to be following these developments, and we'll try to get more information as soon as possible. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, folks. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Sorry about that. We had some technical snafus. Those happen every now and again. We're glad to be back with you, though. So anyway, we are not at war. We're not at war with Russia just yet, but it's quite unclear where all of this is going. Russia says the drone attacks were a false flag. Clearly, there are many on the Republican side of the aisle that are wanting us to go to war with Russia, which will lead to World War III. And very bad things. So Trump is already in a bad mood because Putin screwed him on Ukraine during the Alaska summit. So we'll see how all this plays out. But Trump is in no mood right now, ladies and gentlemen. And if push comes to shove, we could end up getting into a shooting war with the Russians, maybe just in time for 9/11. Oh, by the way, can we talk about Tucker Carlson for just a moment? So I don't know what's going on with Tucker. It's just sort of a weird thing. I'm not even sure I really don't have an educated or informed opinion about why he is taking the positions he is taking. Tucker's a grown man and he can speak for himself. So the other day he was weighing in on the family of Osama bin Laden. Here's what he had to say. Cut 14.
Let me just say, I would be totally comfortable sharing condolences with Osama bin Laden's family. I hate Osama bin Laden. On the other hand, if somebody dies, it's okay to say I'm sorry to his family. That
he had a toddler.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's immaterial. I would say that to the family of an executed murderer in a prison. It doesn't mean I support the murder or the murderer, but this is family. Like, yep. That's okay. That's called like human decency.
Really? Is that true? So we are supposed to we are supposed to be conveying our condolences, our sympathy for the Osama bin Laden family? This is the first family of terrorism. This family is responsible for the slaughter of thousands of our fellow citizens on September 11th, 2001. Is Tucker serious here, or is he just playing to the gallery? Is he wanting to intentionally rile people up here? It sounded like he was being very sincere when he said that he would offer condolences to Osama bin Laden's family, and it sounds also as if there's something wrong with the rest of us who believe that Osama bin Laden ought to be burning in the lake of fire for an eternity. And I have no sympathy. I've got no condolences. That family knew exactly what Osama bin Laden was doing. All of them knew it. I have absolutely zero sympathy for the family of a terrorist. Zero. So Laura Loomer is weighing in on all of this, and here's what she had to say, cut 15.
He would be okay with sending condolences to Osama bin Laden's family. I mean, we are about to see the 24-year anniversary of the 9/11 Islamic terrorist attacks, and Tucker Carlson is now talking about how he wants to send condolences to Osama bin Laden's family. And then he said that he's not even sure that Hamas is a radical jihadi organization. So how are we supposed to have action on these issues in our country when people like Tucker Carlson, who has a very large platform and people thought of him as, you know, oh, wow, he's a moral authority on issues of conservative media and conservative thought. When you have so-called conservative leaders like Tucker Carlson,
so there
glorifying Osama bin Laden and glorifying Hamas and going to Qatar, interviewing the prime minister of Qatar, engaging in propaganda for Muslims, attacking Jews, attacking Israel, trying to rehabilitate Hitler. The guest who we had on is one of the Muslims who got fired from the State Department, who I exposed, Shahid Goreshi. He's basically an Iranian operative, okay? And he was fired because he was accused by the State Department of pushing out Islamic propaganda, which many people who worked with him argued was in support of Iranian proxies like Hamas and Hezbollah.
All right. Senator Ted Cruz, releasing a statement, said something is wrong with Tucker Carlson. And he says that, and by the way, Cruz says, I look at Tucker today, and he is unrecognizable from the Tucker Carlson on Fox News Channel. And, of course, Tucker's also made some comments that many have taken to be anti-Israel. Some would even say anti-Semitic. Others would say that he is coming out in defense of Hamas and the Gazans. And again, I don't know. You can listen to what he says, and I understand why people are coming to those conclusions. I just don't know if he's trying to be a shock jock and trying to gin up controversy. I just don't get that. Cruz says that Tucker, for example, said Iran's not trying to kill the president, referring to claims by Israeli officials backed by U.S. federal prosecutors that the Iranian regime has tried to assassinate Trump. Cruz goes on to say, this is, of course, absurd. Multiple people have been indicted for being Iranian agents trying to kill the president, trying to kill former U.S. senior officials. But Tucker bizarrely said, you know, if Iran was trying to kill the president, well, then we should nuke them, which was a really bizarre proposition. Cruz slammed Carlson for inviting a loon professor on his show to argue the U.S. should have sided with the Nazis over the Allies in World War II. I'm just curious. Many of you have followed Tucker for years. I mean, there was a moment when people were actually talking about Tucker Carlson as actually being a possible vice presidential running mate for President Trump. Turned out to be J.D. Vance. But at the time, they were saying that Tucker should have been that guy. Any reason to be concerned about Tucker's opinions on things now? Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. The professor, by the way, Dave Collum, who is an organic chemistry professor at Cornell, and he said, quote, "I think the story we got about World War II is all wrong." And Tucker replied, "I think that's right." And then the guy goes on to say, "One could make the argument we should have sided with Hitler and fought then Soviet leader Joseph Stalin," claiming that if the U.S. had aligned with the Nazis, maybe there would not have been a Holocaust. Wow. Look, Tucker likes to stir things up, so there's no doubt about that. And he did that quite a bit on his Fox show, which earned him a lot of fans. But now it's as if some of his positioning is putting him on the opposite side of the table from, say, President Trump. So it's all confusing to a lot of people. But I am curious, do you think we owe the family of Osama bin Laden our sympathy, our condolences? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, one of the things I appreciate about Laura Loomer, she speaks truth to power, and she's always right. Always. I don't know. She's got impeccable sources. She does her homework. And quite frankly, Trump should have put her in charge of HR at the White House, because Laura is going in and she's rooting out all of these never Trumpers that are still working in the White House. And I say good for you. But what I appreciate about Laura Loomer is that she correctly identified what happened on September 11th, 2001. And that was the day that Muslims waged jihad on this country in the name of their religion. A lot of people don't like to talk about that. A lot of people like to just gloss over all of that. But these were Muslims waging jihad on American soil. And we can never, ever, ever forget what they did. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, one of the things I truly appreciate about President Trump is that he has really inspired the younger generation. The young people of America, the kids in middle school and high school and college, they love this man like we loved Ronald Reagan growing up. And one of the things that the president has been encouraging the young people of America to do is go back to church. And that was evident in his conversations that he had at the Museum of the Bible earlier this week. I invited Brylan Hollihan on my Newsmax show. Brylan is the co-chair of the GOP Youth Advisory Council. And here's that conversation. Joining me now is Brylan Hollihan, co-chair of the Republican National Committee's Youth Advisory Council. Brylan, you heard that little kid there, a fifth grader, and it's just a reminder that a lot of Gen Zers were forced to really go through some pretty terrible things in their schools.
Yeah, this is heartbreaking, and I've talked to you about this extensively. You know, the LGBTQ mindset, this whole gender ideology that's been pushed on my generation as a mental illness, transgenderism itself, the idea of it is a mental illness. And for too long, the left has affirmed it, and then we see these heartbreaking tragedies happen in schools and churches across this country. And after something like that, we get all out and we say, why in the world are you feeding this indoctrination and shoving it down the throats of America's youth? And they go, oh, no, we would never do that. What are you talking about? Why are you banning these books in classrooms? And this right here was a poignant personal story by this brave kid that stood up and trusted the Lord above anything else. And today he got to stand in front of the President of the United States. We had a White House in the last administration that paraded out topless LGBTQ activists. And now we have a White House with President Trump leading the helm that is bringing out strong, young Christian patriots to pray. That's a big difference.
Do you believe that the alphabet activists overstepped? Do you think that's one of the reasons why we've seen such blowback among young people, and they certainly seem to be embracing the Republican Party America First agenda?
Yeah, big time, Todd. I don't want to give free advice to the Democrat Party, but I would say that they keep taking the extreme left insane approach on these policies. It really all started when they became anti-police, an insane approach that every common sense American right or left said, whoa, wait a second there. Then they started supporting, men and women's sports and men and women's bathrooms. And again, all common sense people said, what in the world are you doing? Now they're pro-crime and they're pro-LGBTQ policies in kindergarten classrooms. What is happening here? Americans stood up and rejected this, and that's why we're seeing so many disenfranchised Democrats and independents convert to the Republican Party.
I want to go back to a survey that just came out from Barna Group, and they've discovered that it's your generation and the millennials that are actually leading the charge to go back to church. Your generations, Brylan, actually are number one, topping Gen Xers and boomers in church attendance. I'm just curious, why do you think that is?
It's because Gen Z has woken up and smelt the roses to the fact that this world is fleeting, and we have this God-shaped hole in our heart that we cannot fill with worldly or fleshly desires. The only thing that we can fill it in is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll tell you this. I'm a college freshman. I just started college 2 weeks ago. I'm in the process of being in a brand new town with a brand new place trying to find a new church home. I visited six churches in Auburn, and all six had overflow services, some with tents in their parking lot, some with overflow, separate locations. I have never in my life, in all the traveling that I've done on a campaign trail, seen such a hunger and desire for Jesus Christ. I'll say this, everybody has said 2025 was a bad year for the Democrat Party. Genuinely, it's a bad year for Satan, because we are seeing a revival sweep Gen Z, and I hope it doesn't stop anytime soon.
What do you make of this call to prayer that President Trump issued today for America 250?
I love it. We just had a previous administration under Biden and Kamala that were locking up people, that were praying, and now we have a president who is encouraging prayer. It's a really great point. As we go into 250 years, we have to look back and say, how did America survive this whole experiment that is the United States of America, that our founding fathers put on this fast track to get here? How did it survive? Prayer. So how are we going to survive? Hopefully another 250 plus years in the future, more prayer. Encouraging Americans to pray every single day from now until the next July 4th. That was the president's challenge in his speech today. It's beautiful, and I think we should all be doing that.
All right. Again, that conversation with Brylan Hollihan on my Newsmax show. You can watch every day, Monday through Friday, 5 o'clock Eastern time on Newsmax 2. Folks, I'm just curious. Have you ever wondered why some people seem to experience God's favor in extraordinary ways? Like, there's a secret hiding in plain sight throughout Scripture that God has designed a pathway to be blessed that runs directly through our relationship with Israel. It's really not all that complicated or mysterious. It's really amazing. A promise found in Genesis chapter 12. God said, "I will bless those who bless you." And this is one of the reasons why I'm such a huge fan of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. I'm not just giving to a charity. I'm plugging into God's ancient blessing system, and I'm choosing to flow with his plan instead of against it. And the results speak for themselves. Lives transformed, families blessed, and purposes fulfilled. As Christians, we believe that we've been grafted into God's family tree. And I want to encourage you to discover what it means to be united with his chosen people through faith. And you can do that by visiting ifcj.org. That's ifcj.org. That's ifcj.org. All right, coming up, we've got Liz Peek on deck. Also, Senator James Langford is going to be dropping by. Hey, if you haven't already done so, now's a great time to get a copy of my latest book, Star Spangled Blessings. You can find a copy right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us. There is a crazy story from Campus Reform. The Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression conducted a survey of nearly 70,000 college kids on free speech issues. And here's the question they asked. How acceptable would you say it is for students to use violence to stop campus speech? Well, it turns out, according to their survey, one out of three students say using violence is acceptable. That's a lot of people. The survey also found that more students than ever think chaos should be used to shut down speech they find offensive or simply disagree with. A majority of the students, 54%, say it's okay to block other kids from attending a campus speech, something that we have seen the left do for the past decade at least, shutting down TPUSA gatherings, conservative events, Christian gatherings. And now we understand, according to FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, a majority of students now support banning, outright bans on, pardon me, outright bans on controversial speakers. Now, this is what happens when taxpayer-funded teachers do not educate kids about First Amendment rights. We have literally raised a generation of students that simply do not think for themselves anymore. This is unbelievable. A very disturbing study from the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Liz Peek, Fox News columnist and contributor, joining us. Liz, hope you're doing well today.
Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for having me. And by the way, I was just on a Zoom call with the FIRE people about their survey, kind of hoping to hear that because the survey has gotten a lot more attention in the last couple of years, that actually colleges are changing their programs, they're adopting the various measures to improve their freedom of speech. Because really, Todd, the worst thing is the kids are saying increasingly that they are self-censoring on campuses. In other words, they don't feel free to say what they really think because they think their professors are going to hold that against them. And I don't know about you, that just makes me sick. I can't stand that.
No, it's disgusting. And yeah. And I somewhere along the lines, these kids have been raised or at least taught. I don't think the parents are doing it. I think the teachers are. They're teaching them that it's okay to shut down speech they disagree with.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are more cancellations. I asked them, actually. I mean, are the number of canceling events increasing or decreasing? Because I kind of thought maybe, you know, it had plateaued or it was not getting worse. They said, no, it's getting worse. It's record high. Actual cancellations of speakers on campus or attempts to shut down speakers. That's very discouraging to me.
Liz, interesting story you have up on your website, lizpeek.com, and the headline, Joe Biden's fairy tale jobs record. I'm astounded by this. You're writing that Biden spent $7.2 trillion, but created 1.5 million fewer jobs than initially reported.
Yeah. Yeah. So, this is a monster embarrassment, frankly, to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And when President Trump fired the head of that organization, frankly, I was totally on board with that firing because we all know that the data reliability has gone directly down. Whether it's been that they're trying to fiddle with the numbers or just gross incompetence. In either case, she deserved to be fired. And I think it's terrific that they have promoted this guy, E.J. Antoni, who's a terrific fellow, a really nerdy, serious economist, to take over that post. Because, look, part of the problem is, for example, in the JOLTS number, which is in job openings, you have response rates down now around 35%. Well, guess what? It's the job of that agency to say, hey, we're doing this wrong. No one's responding to us anymore. So we need to change that. But the bigger picture here is that the Joe Biden economy was a pretty awful economy. It was held up by monstrous government spending, which drove inflation above 9%, and that we did not need to do, even though they lied about the beginning of his administration. How fragile the economy was. It was not. It was growing at over 6%. They should never have spent that much incremental federal dollars to pump it up because it did lead to inflation. And second, the other stool of this terrible economy was illegal immigration. And how many times have you heard in the last several months, oh, Trump's ruining the economy by deporting people who are here illegally. No, that is not the way you should build a strong economy. So I think I'm thinking about writing my next column for The Hill and saying, you know, guess what? Charlie Scharf, the CEO of Wells Fargo, was interviewed today, and he said, you know, our data shows that things are pretty good. Bank of America data shows things are pretty good. And guess what? You may hate the banks, but they are in touch with tens of millions of consumers. They see what spending looks like, et cetera. Right now, the U.S. economy is doing pretty well. So I think this whole Democrat narrative that Joe Biden led us through this golden time of huge job additions and stuff, it was just fiction. It wasn't true.
Liz Peek joining us today on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And again, going back to something Elizabeth Warren posted, saying, you know, accusing Donald Trump of failing to create American jobs. To your point, this is all based on a false narrative. I guess that's one way of phrasing it, a false narrative put out by the previous administration.
Yeah. Yes, it was a false narrative. And I mean, did they know it was false? I don't know. I mean, I went back to the June of last year, not June of this year, June 2024, where all of a sudden we heard that there were 272,000 jobs created in May of that year. It was so out of bounds. It was so so much greater a number than anyone had anticipated. Even Jay Powell, too late Jay Powell, as President Trump calls him, was saying, gosh, this looks maybe a little bit overstated. Well, you know, what did Jay Powell do about that? I think he knew that the jobs numbers were absolute baloney. And yet, 2 months later, 3 months later, no, it was 2 months later, he cut interest rates by 50 basis points when he knew that the jobs thing was questionable. What kind of data was he using? And obviously that 50 basis point cut was very beneficial for Kamala Harris. If the jobs numbers were beginning to spiral downward, what did he expect, that that was going to give her economy a boost and her presidential campaign a boost? It certainly looks that way. And I hate to always assume that anyone is operating from base motives, but I have to say, I think he's done a terrible job. And I think that a lot of the criticisms that President Trump have raised about Jay Powell are completely accurate.
Mm. All right. Again, folks, LizPeek.com, bookmark Liz's website, and you'll have access to all of her great reporting and great columns as well. All right, Liz, appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Liz Peek, everybody. All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I have to tell you about our friends at Old Glory Bank. You know, I've been so impressed with the great work they're doing, providing scholarships to young people, helping out our military veterans and first responders. And best of all, Old Glory Bank is standing up for freedom of speech and good old-fashioned American grit. You're not going to get that in any of the other big banks. OldGloryBank.com/darns. Go check them out. They have all sorts of wonderful, wonderful things for you. More importantly, they will never debank you, and I love that. So if you're tired of banks that won't stand up for your values, I want you to consider switching over to Old Glory Bank, oldglorybank.com/darns. Check out all of the things they offer, FDIC-insured bank. You're going to love them, oldglorybank.com/darns. All right, this headline out of Clarksville, Tennessee. That's in the middle part of the state. A high school assistant football coach and resource officer, an SRO at Northwest High School, has been put on paid leave during an investigation of a complaint of proselytizing during a Friday night football game. Oh, this is hardcore. So, according to ClarksvilleNow.com, the assistant coach on paid leave, Deputy Lawrence Campbell, was also put on leave by the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office. They oversee the school resource officers there in Clarksville. They say he was removed at halftime. By some accounts, he was holding a Bible and leading players in prayer. Well, maybe they were praying that they would win the game. School leaders tell the local newspaper that the prayers went beyond private prayer, and they had received a complaint that Campbell was proselytizing to students in his official capacity as a school employee. Now, I'm just going to take a wild guess here that it wasn't a football player who actually filed the complaint. Probably some left-wing wackadoodle in the stands who saw the coach. Oh, my word, he has a Bible! He has a Bible! Someone call the atheist from Wisconsin! The local sheriff issuing a statement, the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office firmly stands behind any citizen who chooses to lawfully exercise their constitutional rights. This includes our employees. So, well, let me say this. Is there any circumstance that praying or sharing the gospel would be unlawful activities? The sheriff goes on to say, as a man of faith, I was equally concerned about the initial information regarding this and how it appeared to have been handled. With that, I also acknowledge there are always two sides to consider. The incident involving Coach Campbell is being reviewed by the Sheriff's Department. The sheriff goes on to say, with school safety being a top priority, I spoke with Deputy Campbell. Given the level of attention that this has and will continue to receive, I felt it would be best to allow the deputy a couple of paid days off to process all of this. This is to help ensure that upon his return, he could continue his SRO duties without distraction. So let me get this straight here. So the deputy's crime is what? Praying with students at a football game? Is that what they're saying here? This is insanity. So anyway, making big headlines now across the state. You got to love this. Clarksville deputy accused of quoting scripture to students. Oh, how dare he? Is it okay if he quoted, I don't know, rap lyrics? Apparently, he also became confrontational when administrators asked him to stop. You know what? I have no doubt that he did. And I'm sure that the good deputy offered a few choice words to the administrators. According to Channel 5 in Nashville, the incident occurred during the Friday night football game where the home team was struggling. See, I told you they were praying for a big win. Community members. Aha! Community members described hearing the phrase, faith and not fear, shouted throughout the game. What, is that wrong? What? What's wrong with that? So it goes on. I love the Channel 5 reporting here because we have new details. Administration did not ask him to stop praying privately or otherwise. That's what the school said in a lengthy statement. But they said he was proselytizing. Officials say video shows that when asked to stop causing a disruption and put the Bible away, the deputy stated loudly, I can't do it, won't do it. My job is to save these babies. Now, the school is now saying that the deputy left at halftime without being sent home. I don't know about that. Anyway, a lot of people say are coming to the coach's defense, and they say he's a great coach. He's a great mentor. The students love him. Nothing but great things from the freshman football players. Another person said he wasn't pushing prayer. He said, another said, we ought to be able to pray wherever we are, though. That's true. So anyway, we'll keep an eye on this. Hopefully the coach has got a lawyer. Sounds like he may need one. Unbelievable. But I'm glad to see here? I'm glad the community is standing up for the football coach. But what a sad time in America, ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Tennessee, of all places, a red state. Thought everybody was a Christian in this state. But good for the people of Clarksville for standing up. Sounds to me like they've got a problem in school administration and leadership, and they need to get that figured out pretty quickly. Unbelievable. So we'll keep you updated on this story. My goodness, we'll post more info, more intel up on toddstearns.com. But it certainly sounds as if this is something that our friends at First Liberty Institute or Alliance Defending Freedom might want to take a look at. All right, 901-260-5926. Do you have a problem with coaches that are sharing their faith or offering prayers at these football games? You know, there was another one a couple of days ago that we told you about, and that caught the angst of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, that radical, godless heathen bunch out of Wisconsin. They always love going after these small schools. Coming up in the next hour, Senator James Lankford. Also, we're going to play some audio from the creator of Boondocks, which was a hugely, hugely popular and controversial show many years ago. And the creator of Boondocks explained what's happening in our society today, but he did so 22 years ago. And we've been able to unearth this audio, and it's going to blow your mind away. Also, you folks in the Memphis, Tennessee area, listen up. Your police department just announced that crime in Memphis is now at a 25-year historic low. No, I'm not making that up. They're saying that crime in Memphis, it has never been safer to be a citizen or a tourist in Memphis, Tennessee. Wow, you just can't make this stuff up. And I suspect the reason why they're putting out these fake numbers, because clearly that's a crock o' crap. And I have no doubt that the reason why they're putting out this statement is they know something is coming to town. And it was a couple of weeks ago on this very program that you heard President Donald J. Trump say that he was going to take a look at Memphis. So the question now is, will the president be coming to town? And is that the reason why they're cooking the books and alleging that crime is at an all-time low in the Bluff City? All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour 3 of the big show coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So yesterday, President Trump was in a really good mood. And the president's been very excited about how safe Washington, D.C. is now. And the National Guard's really done a tremendous job. I think even D.C. police have done such a fantastic job only because the government came in and took control. And now, as President Trump said yesterday, you can pretty much go wherever you want to. In Washington, it is a safe town. So yesterday evening, the White House press pool was suddenly called in and loaded onto vans. Nobody knew what was going to happen. Nobody knew where they were going. It was not on the official calendar. And I know all of this because I'm on the email list, so I get all of these minute-by-minute updates of what's happening in the White House. Everybody was speculating. Where are they going? What are they going to do? So a few minutes later, they pull up to a restaurant in Washington, D.C. And Joe Seafood, that was the name of the restaurant. Joe Seafood, prime steak and stone crab, just right around the corner from the White House. It's one of these deals where, on average, a dinner there for just a single person is going to set you back about $100. So it's a very popular restaurant. So much so, after what happened with the president, the website's still down. So anyway, the president said, you know what, I'm going out to dinner. And the president decided to treat Vice President J.D. Vance and the Secretary of State, Pete Hegseth, as well. So that they show up, and again, this was all unannounced, that this was all hush-hush. So they show up. The president gives a few remarks to the press pool that had already arrived at the restaurant, and then the president goes inside. And the president, people are applauding, and they're, everybody's shocked the president is there. But then all of a sudden you have all these protesters that just pop up from tables, and they're all holding these Palestinian banners. This is what it sounded like inside. Take a listen.
Enjoy your dinner.
Why do they always sound the same? Free, free, free Palestine. Got to get back to my Subaru. Oh, my word. So anyway, what I loved about Trump is that he actually stared him down. Trump is a Hitler. And so Trump's looking at him like they're idiots. And then he goes to his table and they sit down and have dinner. Now, I went back and rewatched the video, and that's when I became a little alarmed, because it turns out there was maybe a foot. The protesters were about a foot away from President Trump in this restaurant, and they were also about a foot away from Hegseth and the vice president. I want to know how they got in there. How did these women know that Trump was going to be at this restaurant at this specific time, when not even the press corps knew? I mean, this was all planned last minute on the hush-hush, the QT. So how did these protesters, and we think they're Operation Code Pink, those are the purple-haired gals. And I'm just curious, how did all of this happen? How did they end up there making a big scene? And this was a very nice restaurant. Again, it's at least $100 a person. And I'm also wondering, why is it? Because a lot of people are saying, well, Todd, they could have just been liberals out for a lovely night out on the town. Okay, got a question for you. Let's just say they were, it was all entirely coincidental, and these liberals were just out on the town and just happened to be at that restaurant. Do liberals out on the town for a good meal, do they typically carry pro-Palestinian banners with them? I mean, what do you think that's all about? So my question is really the Secret Service here. It sounds like we've got a leak somewhere within the Secret Service. And from a security standpoint, there were no Secret Service agents between President Trump and those protesters. Every single place setting had already been preset. So there were knives, steak knives. I mean, you don't like for your mind to wander in this direction. But it would have been possible last night, it would have been possible in that restaurant for those protesters to attack not only Trump, but the vice president, taking out the president and the VP. So I'm just wondering, after what happened in Butler County, PA, and after what happened down at the golf course in Florida, you would think the Secret Service would be up on top of all of this stuff, right? It's very strange. What do you make of it? 901-260-5926. Let's go to Bob in Texas. Bob, what say you?
Todd, this is my take on those protesters. I don't think it was just a spontaneous protest. Somebody in Secret Service has an organized group that they can speed dial, call right away, and they have a immediate response to something. They're all paid protesters. They're on the Soros payroll. And that's how that happened so quickly with such a combined, protest result. And that's my take on it. It's not just grassroots people just protesting it. This is organized.
Yeah, it's just it was very strange. And, you know, my first question is, who leaked it? I mean, there's no other way that those people were there. They certainly weren't there to eat the crab or the shrimp. I don't think they could afford it just based on their appearance. So it was clear to me that somebody gave them the heads up, Bob, that the president was going to be at that location. Whoops. Don't know what happened to Bob. Sorry about that, my friend. Meanwhile, this from the New York Post, the Secret Service failed to detect a Glock handgun in a guest bag that was manually searched at President Trump's Virginia Golf Club. The member at Trump National in D.C., located in Sterling, actually, later informed the protective agency about the firearm and was described by a senior official to the Post as being cooperative with investigators. The Secret Service has since launched a review of the security failure, first reported by Real Clear Politics, and it comes just 13 months after an assassination attempt against Trump during a Butler, PA campaign rally. So now we have multiple incidents involving the Secret Service. An agency spokesman said the U.S. Secret Service takes the safety and security of our sites very seriously. Clearly, they do not. Video surveillance indicates the club member was never in close physical proximity to the president's location at any point while at the golf club. And that's all well and good, but could somebody explain how an agent, a professionally trained agent, misses a handgun in a bag while doing a manual search? I don't get that at all. Very strange. And now this incident last night. Something is wrong here. And you hate for your mind to wander like this, but you wonder, are there people within the Secret Service that want harm to come to our president? And again, you hate to ask that question, but something is not right here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, Real Clear Politics. They're quoting yours truly, by the way. But they just got a statement like 5 minutes ago from the Secret Service. And the Secret Service is saying that all restaurant guests were screened prior to the president's arrival, including the protesters who had made a reservation to gain access. So let me get this straight here. So the Secret Service knew these protesters were there, and they did nothing to secure that part of the restaurant at all. But beyond that, we still don't know who tipped off the protesters that Trump was coming to that restaurant, and how is it they were already pre-positioned? The Secret Service goes on to say the situation inside was quickly resolved by Secret Service personnel who quickly engaged in ensuring the president's safety. That is not true, and the video clearly shows that. Let's go to the phone lines here. Maria in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Hi, Maria. What say you?
Hi, Todd. I am thinking that an employee at the restaurant who coordinated the reservation with President Trump's staff, and a restaurant employee probably leaked that because, you know, the population there in D.C. is left-leaning, so it's highly likely that, you know, employees are left-leaning, and that may be where the leak happened.
So you think it could have been like one of the kitchen staff or maybe one of the waiters?
Whomever coordinated that reservation. The hostess or whatever.
The maitre d'.
The maitre d'.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone in similar position. Whoever coordinated that reservation.
I like the suspect list already. We've got to figure this out. But are you concerned? Let me ask you this. Do you trust the Secret Service to keep our president safe?
Since he's done this shakeup and, you know, ousted former Secret Service folks and some news have been brought in, I'm more inclined to trust them, but still, nothing's 100%.
It's all very strange. I will say this. The White House is now weighing in on this. Caroline Leavitt giving a statement saying the president in the past says he trusts the Secret Service and the job they do to protect him. That doesn't sound like a full-throated defense of the Secret Service to me, but, well, we sure hope they're going to take care of him. I don't know about that. All right, Maria. Yeah, thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for listening to our friends at WHKP. Let's go to Mona in New Bern, North Carolina. Hi, Mona. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Hey, I've got to concur with Maria. My first thought is the maitre d'. He's in control of seating everybody that enters that restaurant, and I think that needs to be investigated. And as far as the president's protection, I don't trust anybody.
Yeah, I don't either, Mona. I don't either. We, you know, the fact that we still don't have basic information about the gunman. And how is it that CNN had more information about the shooter in just moments after the shooting than the government did? Never did understand that.
Yep, I have to agree with you, Todd. And thanks for all your good work.
Mona, thanks. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So, based on our two calls here, I think we can say the maitre d' is now our number one suspect. We need to pull that guy's voting records. All right. I want to play some audio here. From an interview we did with Congressman John Rose from Tennessee. He's running for governor of the state, and he's weighing in on President Trump and the work President Trump is doing to secure religious liberty here. And you know what? We're going to hold that. We're going to hold that conversation until the next segment. But I do want to play this from Jesse Waters. Sorry, I was just letting my clock get away from me. Jesse Waters did a little background check on Teresa Stokes. She's the magistrate judge who let that animal out who killed that woman on the train. Cut number 8, please.
This is Teresa Stokes, a Harris donor who doesn't even have a law degree, but just made a career criminal and a schizophrenic who beat his own sister when he was out on parole. Pinky promised that he'd behave. Miss Stokes wasn't elected. She was nominated by the clerk. In Mecklenburg County, the sitting clerk is Alyssa Chin Gary. On her LinkedIn page, she calls herself a clerk and a DEI consultant and a racial equity organizer. And her life mission? Reparations.
We are here to honor them, to lift their names, and to continue the intergenerational work that we are required to do to eliminate structural racism.
Ms. Stokes was nominated by Judge Carla Archie. Judge Archie is friends with Eric Holder, Obama's wingman. And Judge Archie isn't just any judge. In 2019, she was the DEI Champion of the Year. Is this starting to make sense? Did a woman die because of DEI? Just a couple months ago, a guy shot 5 people on New Year's, and Judge Archie sentenced him to 1.5 years for shooting 5 people, 1.5 years. This is a DEI court, and they have blood on their hands. And if the people in robes are on the same side as the bad guys, that's suicide.
Yeah, I agree there. And it's just the perfect storm of events, ladies and gentlemen. Perfect storm of events. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, one of the interesting things about Memphis is this report coming out yesterday from the police department. And this is not the rank and file. If you talk to any police officer on the street, boots on the ground, they're going to tell you it's a war zone out there. It is a war zone. But the reason why the Memphis Police Department is cooking the books when it comes to the crime numbers, they're saying that crime now is at an historic 25-year low. they sent reporters out to go in and interview people, regular people. It was interesting. The white liberals they talked to, and you could sort of sniff them out. There's a stench about a leftist, and it's far beyond patchouli oil, but you can smell them a mile away. And all the white liberals are out there, and they're telling the reporters, why, it's never been safer. I've been able to go out and get my lattes, and I've been able to go get my juice bars. And as a matter of fact, we're doing goat yoga in the park, and I've never been shot at. Well, yeah, even the muggers are kind of afraid of people who are, letting goats and other livestock perch themselves on top of it. I don't get that. Anyway, I digress. They went out there and they talked to black Memphians. And here's what one guy had to say. Cut number five.
I said, you better carry a gun with you if you got any sense. It's not safe out here.
You better carry a gun if you got any sense. It's not safe out here. That guy has more common sense than most of the elected leaders in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm just telling you. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Show. Great to have you with us. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, you can watch our show on Newsmax TV. Going to have a great lineup tonight. Well, let's go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to the great senator from Oklahoma, Senator James Lankford. Senator, hope you're doing good today.
I'm doing well. You want to sing the Oklahoma song while we're here?
I'm good. Thank you. we can certainly do that. Senator, by the way, what'd you think about President Trump going out on the town last? That's the first time he's done that in Washington.
Actually a good spot. I've eaten at that restaurant once before. They have good crab, but they have a great key lime pie that's there. So I hope he got that for dessert.
So this is funny. I actually wrote down because I'm sort of a sucker. I always go to the Capitol Grill, and right. Inevitably, I think Ted Cruz has an office there.
I think he does. I think he rents a booth that's there. So if anyone needs there, just know you're going to bump into him.
The last time I was there, it was Ted Cruz on one side of me and Katie Britt on the other. So I think we're in pretty good company. But Senator, there's been a lot of focus on getting President Trump's nominees confirmed, and I know yep. that Leader Thune has been really focused on that, and he basically put you in charge of the plan to make that happen. So how are we doing?
Yeah, we're doing very well. We're going through the process right now to be able to do what is affectionately called a nuclear process, to say if Democrats will not come on board to solve the problem that they have created, then we're going to have to solve this, not just for us, but for every president in the future. What Democrats have chosen to do is they have literally filibustered every single nominee. This has never been done. Don't let anyone kid you and say Republicans did this to Democrats. That is not true. President Trump's every single nominee, even the we're talking the CFO for the Department of Energy and sub-cabinet levels in the Department of Ag, that no one knows who they are except for their mom and the committee that's done all the background information. Okay, the rest of the folks are doing, these are good career qualified people that can do the job on it. They're blocking every single one of these. So they've created a situation where, of course, Republicans are going to do this for the next Democrat president and to say, we're going to block all of yours at the same time. Well, that's not good for the country. It's certainly not good for President Trump right now actually getting his nominees through. So we're proposing a very simple plan. It's something that's been done before that is typical done, is that once they pass through committee, they can pass in groups, what's called en bloc in the Senate, on the Senate floor. But they've got to pass committee. They've got to go through the vote. They've got to go through all the vetting. Then once they get there, they reach them in groups. To give you an example, over 500 of President Trump's nominees in his first administration passed en bloc. Almost 300 of President Biden's passed en bloc. This is normal Senate process. that Democrats have killed. We're going to bring it back and to say, regardless who the president is, this is the way that it should run from here on out.
And here's what gets me. It's one thing if you have moral objections to somebody, but yep. to me, it sounds like this is just pettiness.
Yeah, it is just pure partisan pettiness on it. And I get that the Democrats have Trump derangement syndrome. They don't like him. I get it. They hate everything he does. But we're talking about folks that are eminently qualified for the task, that in the past there was never even a vote for. They were done with what's called a voice vote or put into a group and passed all at once. If we have 1,200 people we have to go through, and right now it takes 3 hours per person. If the just the folks that are in the chain right now to be able to move this year, we would have to go 80 hours a week every single week and do nothing but nominations just to keep up with what we're doing right now. That would mean no appropriation bills, no national defense authorization, no farm bill. We couldn't do any legislation at all if we did just nominations just this year, 80 hours a week, every single week. It shuts the place down. So they're trying to block everything from President Trump. As I remind them, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. We're going to push back and to say, you're not going to do that to this president, nor should it be done to any president.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. The other big story that we're already starting to see headlines, this was the headline on Federal News Network yesterday. White House seeks stopgap bill through January 31st to avoid government shutdown. Axios Democrats embrace government shutdowns in Trump 2.0. Yeah. And you have introduced some legislation that would put a stop to all of that.
Yeah, government shutdowns actually waste money. We have $37 trillion in debt, and that just kind of hangs in the background of everything. Every time you have a shutdown, it actually spends more money because you're paying federal workers that are not even working at that time. There's all the costs of shutting down to be able to reopen, all the drama that's connected to it internationally. We need to have the fights about debt and deficit. Let's have the fight. But let's hold the American people harmless and the chaos harmless on this. So let's keep the government open. And I've got a very simple bill. It keeps us operating at last year's budget level. So we just stay open as we currently are. But members of Congress and our staff can't travel. We're in session 7 days a week and can only work on the appropriation bills. This kind of locks us into a room. If I can be honest about it, it's basically the same thing my mom did to my brother and I when we would have a fight in the living room at some time. She would say, you two, go to your room, fight this out. When you're done, then you can come back out. Stop disturbing the family. So basically, this is what this would do to Congress, to say, when we're going to argue something out, stop hurting the American people. We go into our room, have the fight, get it resolved, and then come back out. But in the meantime, the American people are not held hostage.
Yeah. Look, it's a common sense approach to this. And, you know, we go through this every, you know, just every, it seems like every couple of months
every
now.
Yep.
Every year, though, you're right. But the reality is, as much as it makes for good TV or good radio, you're right. It cost additional money to shut down the government like this, and really nothing ever really gets accomplished.
Yeah, it doesn't help. It's a lot of drama. For the people that like the sport of politics, it's fun sport. But most Americans, the sport they like is their kids' soccer game and football game, baseball games, and cheerleading. They want to spend time with their kids and not be distracted. What they really want is government, go do your job. Go get the budget stuff solved. Go bring down our deficit. Do your job on it. And every time you get to a budget shutdown, you realize, no, Congress hasn't done its job. Plus, we're the United States of America. The whole world is looking at us. We're laughing right now because France has just collapsed its whole government. It's as a no-confidence vote. Their whole government just collapsed on it. We look at it and go, it's France. Well, you know what? At the end of this month, the whole world's going to look at America and say, they can't even get a budget written. That is an issue for us. We lead the world. We should act like we lead the world.
Senator, I need to interrupt for just a moment and alert my team as well. Guys, we are following some breaking news out of Utah Valley.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starn Show.
Again, we are following this breaking news. There are reports, and Senator Mike Lee just tweeting this as well, tracking the situation at Utah Valley University. Charlie Kirk was on campus. This was a TPUSA event. We're getting reports that shots were just fired at this event. We see video from the scene as the students are running away. So we'll keep you guys updated. There's no word on any injuries. So we will just keep you updated. We understand Michael Knowles just tweeting this as well, Senator. Pray for Charlie Kirk. All right, there we go. Senator, a very disturbing situation unfolding right now.
Yeah, that's painful. We'll all be watching that in the days ahead.
Yes, we will. Senator, if you don't mind, I apologize for the breaking news, but we're going to leave it there. We always appreciate your great insight, and we appreciate your even-keel approach to what's happening in the Senate. We need more people like you, to be honest, up there on Capitol Hill.
Well, we're going to work to be able to solve the problems. We are going to work to do that, so keep praying for the nation.
All right, there you have it, folks. Senator James Langford on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Want to share some more of this breaking news we're getting. And, guys, let's be looking for any sorts of news reports. An organizer close to Charlie's position say that, well, we're not going to go there yet. We're going to wait for confirmation. But we do need you to do this. We need you to pray for Charlie Kirk right now. We're going to take a break. We will regroup. 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern's Radio Show. We are following some very disturbing reports out of Utah, and I want to be very careful with what we're saying, but it does appear that Charlie Kirk was shot during this gathering, and we are urging people to pray for Charlie. It sounds as though from the images I have seen, and I just saw a video of the shooting, it appears that it was some sort of a remote shot fired with a rifle. Our telephone number, and if you are watching these videos with us, give us a call here, 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926, as we're following this horrible, horrible breaking news story out of Utah. Dylan, turn on your microphone. I know you've been searching as well for videos. What are you seeing, and what are you looking at over there?
Yeah, most of the videos are just kind of the crowd scattering, you know, right after the moment. You know, I just saw the video of him actually getting shot, someone filming the video, and you can see people are reporting, you know, near the neck area. There's no, like, confirmed anything yet, but, you know, people that were there, maybe a lot of speculation, but, you know.
It's not good.
Not good.
It's not good right now, and there are reports that Charlie was shot in the neck as he was basically holding one of these outdoor gatherings. You can hear the gunfire, and then the crowd scatters. So it looks as though this was some sort of a planned, perhaps targeted assassination attempt on Charlie Kirk. We are aware of some of the reporting out there, but we're just going to hold off on that until we can receive confirmation. But we certainly want to pray for his family and pray for all those around him. We have no other information right now regarding the incident. So no word on any other injuries. And again, a lot of this information just coming in. Senator Mike Lee, urging people to pray for Charlie, and as well as Candace Owens. We now have word from the vice president. He says, say a prayer for Charlie Kirk, a genuinely good guy and a young father. Marjorie Taylor Greene also sharing the video. Charlie Kirk has been shot. Pray for him. And ladies and gentlemen, we understand now, again, this reporting coming in, bystanders reported seeing Kirk shot near the neck during a Q&A with students. We understand a suspect is in custody. That's according to a Utah Valley University alert that was just put out. So we are, again, following these developments, and no doubt we will have wall-to-wall coverage coming up this evening on the Newsmax show as well. But this is all we have right now. We're going to be opening up the phone lines. Perhaps some of you have a kind word to share about Charlie. 901-260-5926. We just have to pray that it was not a serious injury. But again, we want to be praying for Charlie right now. But again, it goes to show you the level of hate and vitriol in this country, that now it is open season on conservatives here in America. And we have seen this type of evil, and folks, we call it out every single day. But I do want to remind you of this, that we have a responsibility to protect our families and protect ourselves in this very dangerous climate right now. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Patty in Statesville, North Carolina. Patty, welcome to the show.
What the heck's going on, Todd?
Patty, we're at war in this country. That's what's going on.
What is going on? Is Charlie okay? Is he okay?
We don't know. We don't know right now.
Oh, my God.
And it's...
You know what? You're right, Todd. I'm crying because I can't take it. What's going on? I don't know, Todd. You know what? This is taking me a lot. Sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of them getting away with everything.
Patty, I hear you, and I know there are a lot of people that feel, do not apologize, Patty. Many people feel the same way you do. To be shot on the streets of America simply because you believe in freedom and liberty, you believe in the Constitution. We have evil people in this country, Patty, and many of them are in the Democrat Party right now. And when you hear the hate and the vitriol coming from them, it's unacceptable.
Well, it's like that poor girl that got it. And you know what? And you know that mayor won the primary today?
Yeah. It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense.
No, but I mean, I know it's the end of your show, but when I seen this, I hope he's okay because, you know what? I'm really getting emotional. I mean, Trump. I love him. I know he's doing the best he can, but we got to step it up, man. We got to step it up, Todd.
Yes, we do, Patty. This kind of stuff cannot go unanswered, and Trump is going to have to crack. He is going to have to throw down the hammer here. He's going to have to throw down the hammer because we can't allow this to happen. We can't have a country with stuff like this going on. We just simply can't.
Todd, you know what? I knew when I called you, I'm crying, and you know what? And I thank you. I love you. And you want to know something? We will. I think we will. We'll be, you know, these people, enough is enough. But I hope he's okay. I hope you, when you hear more, you know what?
Yeah.
Can I call you tomorrow just to let me know?
You can. And we are going to know more information very soon, hopefully, but we can confirm now that Charlie Kirk has been shot. His condition is unclear. The suspect has been taken into custody. So that's what we know at this point. And so, Patty, we will definitely do that. But you hang in there. There are a lot of prayer warriors that listen to this radio program, and I have no doubt that we're gonna hit our knees here, and we're going to lift him up in prayer. Unbelievable. Patty, God bless you. God love you. And you heard the angst and the frustration. And folks, it's hard to keep it together today. I'm going to be honest with you. It's just hard to keep it together today. I don't know what else to say. They tried to take Donald Trump out, not once but twice. They tried to take Charlie Kirk out today, and we're just going to pray that they were unsuccessful. Fox News, by the way, now reporting that Charlie has been hospitalized. So let's just pray that maybe he was just nicked or just hit, you know, somewhere that wasn't important in the neck. But I'm telling you, folks, there is great evil in this country, and we talk about it a lot on this program. So we're going to keep talking about it. They're not going to scare us. They're not going to silence us. We're going to keep doing what we do. And we can only hope and pray that moms and dads start raising their kids and teaching them right from wrong. Join us tonight, 5 o'clock on Newsmax. You listen to this radio station. We're going to keep you updated on developments on Charlie and whatever happened out there. So you hang tight. You be safe, America. Say a prayer for Charlie Kirk. This is the Todd Stern Show.